Hey there, listeners. This is Jenny Rose Spouto. Before we get to today's episode, which I know you're going to love, I want to take a moment to tell you about a special offer we want to give you. It's called the Deluxe Prayer Bundle. With it, you're going to get a Charisma subscription, that's our Charisma print magazine, plus 4 Life in the Spirit devotionals, and 2 books by John Eckhart. The first one is called Prayers That Break Curses, and the second is Prayers That Rout Demons. Both of these books are excellent add-ons with the series that we're talking about right now with Witchcraft and Deliverance, and all you have to do to get all of these resources for only $36 is go to charismamag.com/journal. Or if you would prefer to call us, that is totally okay. Just call 1-800-749-6500 and mention that you are calling about the Charisma News Podcast Deluxe Prayer Bundle. Again, you can visit charismamag.com/journal or call 1-800-749-6500. Now, let's get to the show. This is the Charisma News on the Charisma Podcast Network, one daily news story well told. I'm Jenny Rose. Why do people turn to witchcraft? Is it to find peace, power, a sense of control over something in their lives? All Jenny Weaver got from it was more problems and more fear. Listen to her testimony to hear how Jesus took Jenny from witchcraft to worship leading after this break. Have you recently gone through a major life event, like a divorce, loss of a loved one, or loss of your job? Have you been experiencing anxiety attacks due to stress-related life events? Are you isolating yourself from your family and friends? By combining biblical wisdom with clinical expertise in mental health, our counselors do their best to invite God into the conversation and formulate actionable plans that address the challenges their clients face. The goal is to help your well-being so that you may feel mentally, emotionally, and spiritually healthy. Faithful Counseling's unique platform holds several advantages over traditional face-to-face therapy, as it allows you the ability to connect with your counselor at any time. Counseling is not limited to individually scheduled sessions, but it can extend to text-based counseling whenever your counselor is marked available. It also gives you the choice of communicating with your counselor in the manner that is most comfortable and convenient for you, whether by phone, video call, or even messaging. It offers you drastically more affordable rates than traditional face-to-face therapy, and it also gives you the assurance that your counselor will be a good fit. You're always welcome to switch to a different counselor if you need to. Just go to faithfulcounseling.com/charismanews and receive 10% off your first month. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. Again, that's faithfulcounseling.com/charismanews. Welcome to the show. This is our next episode in our series on witchcraft and deliverance. And not in the studio, but over the phone, we have with us Jenny Weaver. Jenny, do you want to say hi to our listeners?
Hello, everybody. How's it going out there?
Well, we're so excited about this interview because Jenny and I were just talking before we started airing, and I was telling her that I was watching her videos. She's known for singing the scriptures, and you have to go see some of her videos because it's so powerful, just singing the word of God. It is just so good, so refreshing to your soul. So listeners, I encourage you to do that. And Jenny is actually a worship leader. And as I said, she's known for singing the scriptures, but she's had a very hard life. And some of that actually involved witchcraft and getting free from that. So Jenny, I want to talk to you a little bit about that today. Can you tell me, what was your life like before you knew Jesus?
Yeah, my life was really dark. I remember growing up in a Christian home. And so on Sunday, we would, do the church thing, but at home, it was an opposite story. There was a lot of abuse. We weren't a very affectionate family, so dealing with all of that, parents were fighting, separating, and just on top of the abuse that we had to deal with, I got very depressed about 13 years old, And so I began to cut my wrist. And this was almost like a daily thing that I was doing. I was coming home from school, being bullied at school, being bullied at home. And so I would just kind of hide out in my room and cut my wrist, listen to really dark music, Marilyn Manson, you know, all of this stuff. And yeah, I watched a movie on The Craft when I was a teenager. And I saw the movie was four witches, four teenage girls in high school, who had, from what I saw, all this power. They could, you know, make things happen. And so in the dark place that I was at, I didn't see it as a bad thing. I actually saw it as a good thing. I thought, wow, I'm going to make my parents pay for what they've done. I'm going to, you know, get the kids back at school. And so I began to study the religion of Wiccan. And I became a practicing witch at a very young age. So I was cutting my wrist continuously. Mutilation was happening almost every day. And then I was practicing witchcraft spells and incantations and all of this stuff. So growing up was really, really a dark place for me.
Wow. That's just crazy to hear. And so you said you were very young, but how old were you? Do you remember how old you were when you started doing witchcraft?
Oh, probably about 13, 14 years old.
Okay. So a very young teenager. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Like just starting out. So you said you were involved with Wicca. What does that kind of entail? What does Wicca look like to you when you were that age?
Well, to me, it looked like everything was considered, almost everything was considered like a god. So rather than there being one god, there was many gods. And so different deities, goddesses, gods, you know, plants were gods, animals, you could talk to animals and like their spirits, and plants had a spirit. And so it took the supernatural world to like this huge place for me where I didn't know really what was sound anymore, what was real. And because of my upbringing in the Christian home, I liked that because I thought, well, if God is allowing all of this to happen in my life, all the hurt, everything that's going on, then I want as far away from him as I possibly can go. Now, mind you, I didn't say that I stopped believing in God, which was the crazy thing. I actually knew, almost because of my upbringing, that God was there. And I just embraced that, yeah, God's there, but everything else is a god too, and even I'm a god. So that's what it looked like to me. And so it wasn't like how people would maybe see witchcraft now. They would say, oh, there's witches in a house, and there's a big cauldron, and they've got black fingernail polish on, and they wear all black, and they're doing evil, mean things. To me, it was more like you embraced earth. You embraced, you know, everybody's beliefs were okay. Everything that people wanted to do was okay. And the motto was, do what you will, do what thy will, but do no one any harm. So basically it was, do whatever you want, just as long as you don't hurt people.
Wow. Okay. So now, if I understood you correctly, you said that you kind of used witchcraft, or you kind of pursued it as a way of getting back at your parents, like, now I'll show them. Was it that you want, but you saw you don't do harm through witchcraft. So was it just that by the act of pursuing witchcraft, you were automatically hurting your parents?
No. So when I thought, well, I want to get into that because of the movie that I watched, and the nature of the movie was witches that were started out good, but they ended up, you know, doing harm to people. So I thought, oh yeah, I'm going to do that. But upon studying it and really kind of diving into it, I realized, hey, that's actually not what the religion of Wiccan actually is. And so I didn't like set out to hurt people or set out to hurt my mother or my father or anything like that. It was more just about pleasing yourself and getting what you want. Really?
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're doing spells on a regular you're not right now, but back then you were doing spells on a regular basis and studying witchcraft and all that. Did you ever have a supernatural, like demonic encounter because of that?
Yes, all the time. And so what happened was, is later on in life, I got into drugs, heavily became a full-blown drug addict. I actually was a drug addict for 9 years. So wow. I was addicted to heroin and methamphetamines. I got kicked out of my home. I was living on the street, so I was homeless as a teenager at 17 years old. And I was at that point practicing an alternative lifestyle as well. So, practicing spells and all of that. I was opening doors to realms that I shouldn't have been opening doors to. And so what happened is I got gripped with the spirit of fear so bad. It was tormenting me, where I would see in the spiritual realm. Now, some people are like, well, you know, that only happens in the Christian world. No, it's like across the board. You know, if you open up a demonic door, you're going to be able to see the demonic realm. If you open, you know, the door to heaven, you'll be able to see angelic realms. And so I was opening these doors, taking these drugs, hallucinogenic drugs, and things would begin to happen in the home that I was living at. Once I was off the streets, I moved in with a young lady and her whole family. They were all witches, her great grandmother, her mother, herself. And so I was kind of underneath her, and she would teach me, you know, things here and there, but drugs began to take over, and I would see things move in my room. Wow. I would go to open a drawer, and I would just have my hand almost touching it, and the drawer would open all on its own. I would point to something on the wall, and it would fall off the wall. You know, we would be talking about, hey, do you feel that weird, you know, spirit? Do you feel that, you know, and all of a sudden light bulbs would break over top of our heads. The lights would go out and glass would fall everywhere. And I write a lot about that in my book, The Sound of Freedom, as well. And it was a really dark place. So me opening the door to something, what I thought was, hey, you know, this is Earth. This is nice. It's going to be great. It turned very dark. It was a very scary place for me. And that's actually why I got out of it.
Wow. And I am so glad you did. I'm sure we all are.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you were involved in drugs, in an alternative lifestyle. Do you mind me asking, what does that mean for you?
So an alternative. I was in a lesbian relationship.
Okay.
Pretty much when I was getting out of high school. And so I was just convinced that, you know, the boys made fun of me, and I really didn't have any luck in that area. I guess maybe just because of how I perceive myself, but a young lady showed interest in me, and because of what I already allowed, and I had already kind of put God on the shelf and said, hey, I'm going to just do what I want to do. It was easy for me to slip into that deception of, this is who I am. So really, I was having an identity crisis. When I pray for people and we go through deliverance, I really identify it as, you're going through an identity crisis. So the enemy has convinced you you're one way, and God has said the opposite, that you're not. And so, yeah, I was living an alternative lifestyle and doing drugs. That just came almost immediately after, and it was an everyday thing.
Wow, that sounds like so much going on in your life. And on top of that, you mentioned that you had been cutting too. So let me ask you this. Do you see a spiritual connection between some of those strongholds that you were struggling with, like the cutting, drugs, homosexuality, and then the witchcraft involved with that? What was the connection there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Really, all of it started from a spirit of rebellion, rejection. So, you know, being rejected by my parents, being hurt, being abused, that opened the door for rebellion. Now I was rebellious. I wanted to murder my mother. I planned out her murder, where I was going to make it look like I didn't do it. That was a deep-rooted spirit of rebellion, which we know the Bible talks about, that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So it's basically the same exact thing. And the drugs, if you look back through the ages, you can see that people would take, you know, substances from the earth to open up themselves to different realms. Witches did this. Warlocks did this. And so that they could kind of you know, be loosened up and be more aware of these things. So they go really hand in hand, the spirit of pharmakia, they call it, and taking drugs, witchcraft, rebellion, and you just look at all of that and then cutting. You're really rebelling against your own self at that point. It's a demonic lure. It really was a lure for me. Like, I heard almost like voices that would say, just cut yourself, just kill yourself. Just, if you go away, everything will be so much better if you weren't here. And so I would hear that torturous voice all the time. And it would just drive me just to get the voices to stop, just to go ahead and start cutting. And I actually wanted to cut to say, I hope I just accidentally just do it deep enough where I would just die.
Wow. And you bring up a really good point, is that then there were involved these suicidal thoughts. And I just want to take a moment to encourage our listeners that if any of you are struggling with intense suicidal thoughts, or if you're in crisis, you can call the Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255, or you can visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org. But you, Jenny, you just bring up such a great point. There was just so much darkness. There was that spirit of rebellion. How on earth did Jesus rescue you from all of that?
Well, I talk about this in my book. The sound of freedom, it sounds like surrender. And I actually just got to the point where, you know, people say, oh, you have to hit rock bottom. I literally had to hit rock bottom. I remember being pregnant. This was towards the end of the 9-year addiction. I was pregnant. I was a meth addict. I was going from house to house, really not a place to stay. I remember staying in someone's backyard. They didn't even know I was there. I was in their shed just to have a, you know, some shelter. I remember hiding under beds with the spirit of insanity for days. I would hide under beds because I thought monsters were out to get me. So I'm pregnant. I had not eaten in 5 days. I wasn't sleeping. It had been days, so I was hallucinating. And I just got so tired of the situation and the life, and I cried out to God. And I just screamed 3 words. I screamed, God, help me, as loud as I could.
Wow. 'Cause
that was all I could pray. I couldn't pray any eloquent words or anything fancy. And I didn't see, like, lightning or anything crazy happen, but I had this peace come over me. I knew that God heard me. When I cried that, the way that I cried it, I said, God heard me. He just heard me. And days later, I was rescued out of that situation. I actually was put in jail, which was my rescue, because I was happy to, I had been before. So I knew as soon as I get there, I'm going to eat, and they're going to let me shower, and they're going to let me lay down and sleep. And so it was one of the most happiest occasions of my life, like,
oh my
really
goodness.
Being arrested just to be able to shower and have, you know, something to eat, as I was carrying a baby and I had not eaten in days. And so God began to deliver me from that point on. And I talk about it a lot as well, and about being in a deliverance service, where actually I went to a deliverance service now as a new Christian. Even on the worship team, I was on the worship team. I was singing. I was just trying to serve the Lord. This was about a year after I had gotten off the streets. And I went to a deliverance service, and the lady came over and they prayed over me. And I went through a very fierce, very intense deliverance, like people would watch in a movie. And it was real. It was very real. It happened to me. I was not an unbeliever. I was a believer. And God delivered me. It was 2 hours of deliverance, and witchcraft and the occult and everything came up and out. And so, yeah, right after that, I began to learn about worship.
Wow, that's amazing. I love your testimony. Just the power of God to take so much hurt and brokenness and rescue and transform. It's just, wow, that's Jesus. That's the cross. It's so beautiful. So I want to go back to that time that you went through deliverance, because it sounds like you didn't just get saved and then anything, and you didn't need any deliverance. It's not like that just stopped. You had to go through that process. So you said it was very intense, but what does that mean? What does that look like?
So I went to the deliverance service because I thought it would be interesting to see other people be delivered, but I was actually taught that a Christian can in no way, shape, or form have any demonic oppression, possession, influence. I always say those words because people phrase it differently. But basically, once you say the prayer, I was taught, you're free and free indeed, and every devil just exits and goes about their way. So I went like thinking this is going to be great to watch. And we went in there and there was a lot of people. Well, I think there was a lot. There was about 40, 50 people. And they had us renounce things. And I'm like, what is going on? This is so weird. And they just went through a list. And then they said, now we're going to break out in smaller groups. And we have people that will pray with you if you want prayer. A lady came. I was with two people from my church, by the way, two ladies. And a lady came over to me and said, hey, would you like prayer? And I was like, yeah, because as a Christian, nobody says no to prayer. You always say yes. And so I'm like, sure. So she began to pray. And she looked me in the eyes and she said, oh, I see you in there. Come out in the name of Jesus.
Oh, my goodness.
And you should have seen my face. I remember like my eyes got really big. I'm like, wait,
oh, I
what?
Can imagine.
Yeah, I was like, no, like, I'm shaking my head like, no, there's nothing going on here. And she said, now I'm going to pray. Just keep looking me in the eyes and I'm just going to pray. And she went on for a good amount of time, minutes and minutes that went by. And I'm thinking, this lady is crazy. I can't wait to get out of here. These people are weird. And she just kept praying. She took her Bible. She placed it on my head and she began to pray in the spirit. And then all of a sudden it was like, I was watching a movie of what was happening. I had no control over what I was saying, what came out of me. Even my bodily functions, I began to lunge at this woman. Now I'm a worship leader, a brand new worship leader, the poor church that put me in charge. I was a brand new worship leader. I had people from my church there. So I would never in my wildest dreams ever act out in that manner. So this was something I could not control. Different voices began to talk, you know, like weird, deep, scary, demonic voices and say, no, we're not coming out. We've been in here a long time. And so they actually had to have two men come over and hold me down as I attempted to climb up the wall. There was a wall that my back was on backwards, and I was taking my fingernails and trying to cut open the scars that were on my wrist from when I was a teenager. So she was quickly able to identify, hey, this is a spirit of witchcraft in here. This is mutilation, you know, and she just began to call all these things out. And so finally, after a good amount of time, there was a release. I began to cry and call out Jesus. And I could tell that I was back. And Jesus was right there. He was delivering me. And all of that mess that I had been carrying deep inside was finally gone.
Wow, that's incredible. So have you ever had to, does that mean that after that deliverance, there was no more demonic attack ever? Or have you ever been attacked by evil spirits since then that you had to rebuke?
Well, I would say there was no more demonic oppression or demonic possession after that point. But the enemy has come to me to try to bring an attack either through people's actions or he would. I remember when I was in my house, our old house, and I was just sitting there doing work on the computer in the middle of the night. And I remember feeling something coming in and trying to bring back the spirit of fear and torture. And I turned around. I could actually see in the spiritual realm a demon. And so I turned around. At that point, I'm strong in the Lord. And I said, you know, I command you to go now. And there was no fear involved. So, yeah, I have had to address the enemy, because the enemy just doesn't go away. He's like, oh, never going to bother that person again.
Right.
No, he even left Jesus for a season, the Bible said, and then came back. Also, I want to say this. You know, even after that deliverance, God was still taking me through the process, what I call the process of restoration. So I remember years after that deliverance, I remember being in a women's group and they were talking about forgiveness. And all of a sudden, something came up inside of me, like a deep cry, like a travail. And I just began to cry out. And what the Lord was doing was he was delivering this thinking that I had. And it was actually towards my husband, because me and my husband, we actually used to run the streets and do drugs together. And there were some things, even though I was madly in love with my husband, there was some deep hurts and when he would leave and this, that, and the other when I was pregnant. And so God began to deal with that. Now, that wasn't a demon leaving. That was hurt being dealt with and forgiveness right. coming in. And it sounded, the cry always sounded really intense, but it was another part of deliverance.
Right. That is such a good point, that not all deliverance has to be about demonic oppression or possession. Mm-hmm. I like that point. What is it about worship that releases people into deliverance?
That's a great question. So I have just, and I just want to say this, I started singing the scriptures in 2018, January 5th to be exact, 2018, the Lord God himself told me, I want you to sing just the scriptures. And I said, Lord, in my own weird carnal thinking, I said, God, that's not going to work. I don't know why I have conversations with the Lord like that, but I did. I said, people aren't doing that. That's not something that's popular. Nobody's doing that. And especially not on Facebook Live. And the Lord just kept saying, I want you to just sing the scriptures. And so I, you know, submitted and just said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. He gave me the time and the date. And I said, hey guys, I'm going to go and sing the scriptures this day. If you want to come on, that'd be great. At that time, I think I had 10, 15, 20 people who would tune into my lives. I'm from a small town in the country, and I didn't have any connections. I didn't know anybody at all. I was a worship leader for a very small church. And so I went on, I began to sing Psalm 51, creating me a clean heart. That video got over 500,000 views. It's still climbing. People are still commenting on it today. And because of that, my ministry began to take off. So I'm saying that to say that I'm learning as I go. So that's why I said I don't know, because right. I'm still learning mm-hmm. all that there is to God. But what I've noticed so far is when I go to sing at a place, we get into a vein of real, pure, true worship. A lot of times I won't stick to a set list. I will sing the prophetic song of the Lord over people. And I have noticed that it's the song of the Lord. Once that begins to happen, meaning it's no longer me saying, God, you're holy. God, you're amazing. God, you're beautiful. We worship you. Hallelujah. It now turns into the Lord begins to sing for us over the people. And it sounds like things like, I'm here to deliver you. I'm going to set you free. And he begins to actually have words of knowledge. You went through this, and specific things will begin to come out in the form of a song. And then all of a sudden the whole room shifts. And in that, I have seen demons manifest in believers.
Wow.
Almost every single place that I have traveled lately, we see people being delivered right there. Not just demons, but a lot of times it's like I described, it's hurt. Mm-hmm. Sometimes trauma right. will begin to surface. And so then the Spirit of God comes and he releases that through song. And then a lot of times deliverance will happen. I'll tell my testimony like I just told you, very calmly like I am now. I'm not shouting. I'm not running around preaching up a storm. I'll just say, hey, this is what happened. And then I will hear the Lord say, I'm here now to deliver. And I will say, you know, I just heard the Lord say he wants to deliver. And almost instantly people begin to cry, weep all around the room. You'll hear, you know, yelling, and the Holy Spirit begins to just come in like a rushing wind. It's the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life.
Wow, that's incredible. Do any of those stories of deliverance that, like whether you're sharing your testimony or you're singing prophetically, do any specific stories of people's deliverance stand out to you?
Oh my gosh. There's so many. Let's see. Oh, you know what? Yes. One I love because it's a unique story. I remember being at a church service. This was a day session. It was a conference. So it was about 11 o'clock in the morning. They had a session, and towards the end, the speaker gave an altar call. Now, I had already given my testimony the night before, and so the same people were there. So this just tells that it's not about a specific person. It's about the work of the Holy Spirit.
That's
so
good.
I wasn't even ministering at that time. I wasn't singing except in my chair in the congregation, you know, with everyone else. And so people came forward. I was just sitting in my chair because I don't like to really just go up to anybody and just lay hands and pray unless the Lord is really, truly leading me to do that. So I sat there. I didn't feel the unction to move at all. So I just sat there and just prayed in the spirit, was singing in the spirit. And then all of a sudden, after about 20 minutes of this, all of us on our knees and our faces before the Lord, I heard the Spirit of God say, go up to the young lady who was in front of me, kneeling down, and give her a hug. And so I was like, oh, okay, not pray, just give her a hug. So I went, I walked around, I got in front of her, she's kneeling down, and I scooped her up in my arms. I'm on the floor with her, and I hug her to the point where she wasn't even able to identify that it was me. I just hugged her, bear hugged her, and I just began to rock her in my arms. And this went on for a few minutes. And then all of a sudden, I heard the word of the Lord say, bind up the spirit of witchcraft. And so I said, in the name of Jesus, I bind up witchcraft. And immediately she began to scream. I'm still hugging her like a mother. And I began to call out a few other things, perversion and things like that. And I hugged her. This went on for like 25 minutes. I'm just hugging her. I'm not letting her go. And I could feel that she was being delivered. The Holy Spirit was doing it. She was set free right there. And I hugged her the entire time. So I wrote about that on my post. I said, the day that I hugged the devil out of somebody.
Oh, my goodness.
And she came up later and she said, my family was involved with witchcraft for years. It goes back generations. And in the witchcraft, there was molestation and abuse. So me calling out perversion and witchcraft, she knew that the Spirit of God was there to set her free.
Right. Wow. That is so incredible. I love those stories. It's so good. So I know that you love to sing prophetically and to sing the scriptures, but do you have any specific songs that you love to worship to?
Yes, I love Spirit Breakout.
Mm.
I love Almighty Ones. I just love that. I like a lot of times I like very high energy songs.
Right.
I'm extremely energetic, and I go from one end of the stage to the other. Back and forth, jumping around. I do love those two particular songs. And one that I just sang on my Facebook Live yesterday is the song by Eddie James, Breakthrough.
Mm.
He just really just proclaims that God is the God of the breakthrough, and they even list things that he's going to break through. And he's breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul. And they just keep going, and it really stirs you up to go,
yeah,
we do serve the God of the breakthrough. And my breakthrough is not tomorrow. My breakthrough is now in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus.
Amen. That's incredible. So, Jenny, we're out of our time for today, but I was wondering, would you be willing to pray for people who are listening right now who they need deliverance or they need God to break through in their lives? But before you close us in prayer, don't let me forget, where can our listeners find you on Facebook and on the web?
Oh, that's so easy. You can go to Jenny Weaver Worship. And it's across the board, it's the same name. So from Instagram, my YouTube channel, my Facebook page, and even my website, JennyWeaverWorship.com. You type that in and you'll be able to find me.
Amazing. And now, would you mind closing us in prayer for people who need a breakthrough from the Lord today?
I will. Father, we just thank you that even right now, God, that you're beginning to deliver your people. I thank you, Father, for the ones that have tuned in, God, that it was not a mistake that they are listening, but it is by divine appointment that the Holy Spirit is drawing them and wooing them in so that they can see the delivering power of Jesus Christ today. And I speak to every soul wound. I speak to every hurt, every cut, every scar. And I say in the name of Jesus, be healed right now. I thank you, God, for that person that's struggling with wanting to live. I say you will live and not die in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, God, that the person that needs to cry out and repent, God, that they will do it now in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I pray that your peace, your goodness, your love, your favor, and your blessing will just cover the people right now in the name of Jesus. For yes, you are the God of the breakthrough, and you are the God of the midnight hour, and you are turning it around for them, for their lives, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Jenny Weaver, thank you so much again for speaking with us today.
Thank you, Jenny.
Of course. And listeners, be sure to tune in next time to the Charisma News Podcast. Thank you for listening to today's Charisma News Story. This is Jenny Rose. Join me for another news story every weekday. God bless you.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.